it's certainly a lot of stuff that's been moving quite quickly in the way the province is wanting to adjust things. When you first heard of the idea of the amalgamation, was there any hesitancy, or did you see it as something that would be of good benefit? Tell me about your initial reactions, and perhaps if they've changed at all to put us in the place we are now, Doctor.
Oh, absolutely, and thanks for raising this, because I think it's a really important point. Is that when we see the history of local public health in Ontario, that's municipally based, we are looking at basically over two centuries now of slow, gradual amalgamations. We started in 1800s with about 800 boards of health, and then gradually before this merger, we went. To 34. So this merger came as an opportunity when it was first announced in August of 2023. When I first heard about that, I thought that this is exactly what we've been asking for. We've asked the government in late 2019, early 2020 to do exactly that. Allow us to figure out the best grouping for the new entity, give us criteria, give us some time, breathing room to figure out what that best grouping for merger might be, as well as fund the cost associated with the merger. The announcement that came in August of 2023 was exactly that, allowing the sector to figure out what the optimal groupings are with certain parameters. So the one of the parameters was the population served, and the criteria was that it should be greater than 500,000 population, which we are, and also the grouping that takes into account existing working relationships and patterns of service delivery. So the three former health units coming together as one region is what makes sense for Southeastern Ontario. And that's exactly what we're asking for. And I'll put that in comparison to the proposed merger merger plans that were announced in 2019 that had very different groupings, that we would be a former KFLA, for example, would have been separated from Hastings Prince Edward, and it didn't really make sense. And now we have that grouping of three former health units in the southeast region that is a good balance between the size that we have, that critical mass and capacity, but it's not too big to make it perhaps less inert and less nimble, and maybe lose some of the strengths we had as individual organizations prior to the merger. So I think we kept that right balance of still being nimble, still being connected locally, with now greater capacity, search ability to respond to surges based on the larger organization and just being a combination of three.
Dr. Oglaza, can you give me an understanding of the approximate boundaries of the new Southeast Health Unit? What would be kind of the eastern boundary? My assumption is that somewhere near the Northumberland border or Quinte West would be the western boundary, and then the north and the south that we encompass now.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So it's a large area, large geographical area, probably the largest health unit that's not the northern health unit, spanning from, Trenton, Quinte West to the west, Bancroft in the north, or even a little bit past Bancroft, Prince Edward County in the south, and then going along the both 401 and Highway 7 corridors up to just a little bit past Carlton Place and north as far as we can have. So that's the boundary of former Leeds Grenville Lanark District Health Unit. And then on this southern side along the 401 corridor, I think Kempville is still within Kempville definitely is within the area there. So that as far as it goes west, Kempville and Prescott. So these areas are on the on that eastern side.
Perfect. One of the things that our area has, and you're no stranger to it because of your service in this area, is the multi-site hospital formula with Quinney Health. So I think people in our listening area would at least understand the idea here that, you know, Belleville has a new stunning health unit location. My assumption is on the eastern boundary, our friends in Leeds, Grenville, Lanark probably have a very well-functioned health unit, and then KFLNA with it. Is there going to be different services, or are they going to be twinned or triplet kind of facilities, even though they may look a little bit different?
So our local presence in those communities you mentioned has to continue, because we are delivering services to the communities. We're locally connected. When we send inspectors, public health nurses out to do the work, whether it's inspections or home visits for families through the Healthy Babies, Healthy Children program. So that all is on the ground, and it makes sense to be served from the current location. So that's going to be the strength of our now merged organization, is that we'll have presence across this large geographical area where we could be, where we'll be still sending those staff to serve the community. So that's there's not going to be change on that aspect. I mean, at some point we will be looking at the service patterns and seeing where we need to strengthen our presence, either through more outreach services or permanent presence. So that's not immediately for this year. That's something we're going to look at once we have data from the service delivery across the new merged entity. We'll have some evaluations of that. But the idea is that this is going, the merger is going to allow us to strengthen our presence in the communities when we don't have the brick and mortar presence, and continue with the services across the large area.
Was this the first of the most recent set of mergers out of when Premier Ford announced wanting to do this? Was our area the first one to get executed and approved?
All of them, I believe. There were other merger groups that also took effect on January 1st. So there's other groupings as well. I think to our west of us, there's a new health unit that's merged as a result of merger between the Peterborough Public Health and HKPR health units. So there's that one, and that also came as a regulatory change under the legislation effective January 1st. So all of that round of voluntary mergers that the organizations took on and took advantage of this program and opportunity, that all was in place at the same time.
How does a merger like this help to save taxpayer dollars? Does it get reallocate dollars in certain ways to be more efficient for frontline services?
So I think the important change in the vision for the merger that happened between 2019 and now, this opportunity that was announced in August 23, is that there was a recognition that mergers are essential, important to strengthen capacity. So the local public health system has greater capacity to deal with emergencies. And this wasn't just the experience from COVID pandemic. It was the experience dating back over 20 years to the first SARS emergency in 2003. And there was that recognition, is that large organizations have then more capacity, are more able to respond to those emergencies. So merger is not intended to save money. It's intended to, if there are efficiencies and the efficiency results in savings, these savings are reinvested into that extra capacity and ability to deliver services. So that's the change in concept. It is intended to be a stronger, more resilient system that now this larger organization is able to deliver if there is another emergency. And I think it's unfortunately a matter of when, not if. We know very well from history that these different public health emergencies happen from time to time. And we are now better equipped to respond to those because we have a larger, more resilient organization.
What has been the largest challenge that you've faced? Because there's probably a lot of nuance and a lot of moving pieces to something like a merger of this size.
I think the I would say the biggest challenge in terms of conceptually is we see the end point, we see the where we want to go, when we want to get, and the biggest challenge is recognizing that it's not going to happen overnight. This is something that is going to take years. So it's the patience to have that systematic approach to building the new organization, building new culture, building the new service delivery, looking as one entity as opposed to three separate entities, and recognizing that this will take time, and not rushing, because I think that we have this unique opportunity. Again, it's something, it's the change in the public health system that's probably the largest in decades. When you think about the some of the historical perspective, the health units that merged have been in existence for decades. So Leeds-Grenville-Lanark, for example, was first established in 1947. So you had decades of history, and now this is such a momentous time in history where we are building something new, something that's going to provide better service to the community, is going to be more resilient, as I mentioned, and recognizing that this is going to take time. So that we are asking the public to be patient. We are also asking everyone around to recognize the challenge, the disruption that this brings on the organization level, and convey to the public the message that our goal is to have this as smooth, as seamless as possible, that people will be still able to interact the same way as they have been to date, and until we have more information. If the service delivery patterns change, or different phones to reach us, different phone numbers to reach us, and things like that, but in the interim, we strive to have that seamless experience for the public. And at the same time, if there are glitches down the road, we do ask the public to be patient with us, recognizing that we're trying to build something better that's going to serve this community better, and it will take time.
Dr. Oglaza, last question for you. What is the best thing that you anticipate seeing coming out of this merger, not only for the organization, but for residents within it?
I think the best thing is goes back to that whole concept why we are doing the merger in the first place. The merger is about that critical capacity to be able to respond to surges. It's not about it. It is about the improvement, the gradual improvement, and strengthening day-to-day services, especially in the rural areas. That's the key. That's always in mind of what we're building here. But it's really where the public might see where I will be more comfortable knowing that we have now this greater capacity, is that if there is another emergency like COVID, we will be better prepared to respond to that. And remember the situation that was in early 2020, where this health unit, Hastings Prince Edward Public Health, was part of this all government, all hands on deck response to repatriations of Canadians through CFB Trenton. That was a tremendous effort. Our staff were deployed to assist in anything that needed to happen to make this operation a success, and we did succeed. But at the same time, we were short. We couldn't do things like other health units did, like said our neighbors to the east from KFLA Public Health, that they were able to send inspectors to do these preparation inspections in the long-term care homes, for example, anticipating that the pandemic will hit later. Now, as a merged organization, we now have larger pool of staff that we can still respond to one emergency happening, but at the same time not leave ourselves short in other areas. So overall, that's going to be a better, more robust response if there's another crisis, another anticipation of an emergency like we had in the early days of the pandemic. So that's really something that, while we hope never to have to go through, knowing that now we have much greater capacity to respond and then still do all the lines of work that are necessary, that's really reassuring. And I think that's the message I want to convey to the public, that if we are ever in the situation where we need to provide that kind of robust response on many fronts, we'll have more capacity to do so.